1, verse 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointed when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, church. Am I welcome to that of Alex? My name is YC. It's so good to be able to open God's Word together and read together. Before it, let's pray. Ask God for help. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the time, for your revelation of our Lord Jesus and the time that we have spent together thinking about our inheritance, our hope in Jesus. And we pray that as we, this evening, as we think about this living hope that we have, that as we will work in our hearts, help us to see and understand, and also help me to be clear and faithful to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our world is filled with different kinds of hope. We need hope. As we live in this world, we have to have hope to help us, to sustain us. In the name of a newborn, it consists of the hope of his or her parents. When children are a bit older, they have their own hopes. I want to be a fireman, an astronaut, a scientist, or some would even say, I want to be Ultraman. And in our teenage years, or when we get to uni, our hope might change. With all these options, opportunities before us, we finally adults now and we are capable to make our own decisions. What will I do with the life in front of me? What do I hope to achieve? What do I hope to become? In different life stages, we would have different hopes. And that gives us purpose and direction in life. It gives us a reason to get out of bed every morning, gives us energy to persevere through hard times. And as human beings, we live in this world, we need to have hope. In our passage today, Peter talks about this living hope that we have as Christians in our Lord Jesus. We are currently in our 1 Peter sermon series, Strangers in the World. And the Apostle Peter is writing to this group of Christians who are scattered around the Roman province in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And the purpose of this letter is to encourage them, to point them to the true grace of God and encourage the Christian to stand firm in this hope, in this faith of yours. In other words, Peter is telling them what it's like to be a Christian. Last week, Alex helped us to think about the question, what is a Christian? Christians are strangers in the world, chosen and saved by God for the obedience of Christ Jesus. And this week we'll be thinking about this question, why is Christianity a good news? I will go through the passage through under these three headings, the imperishable inheritance, the joy in sufferings, and finally, how should we respond, the longing for Christ. Well, Peter starts the passage with praise towards God. He says, praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he has given to praise God, because of the living hope, that we have, the new birth in Christ, the inheritance in store for us in heaven. And so in verse 3, halfway of verse 3, it reads, in his great mercy, in God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And before we think about this living hope that we have, the inheritance in store for us, it's helpful to define this living hope, the biblical hope. What is it? In English, we use the word hope in a range of meanings. It can mean there's wishful thinking, finger-crossing hope, maybe. For example, we all hope that the typhoon Friday, the typhoon signal 8, lasted for an extra 20 minutes, and then we can have an afternoon day off. Or we have no work, no school, hopefully. It's a desire for something good to happen in the future. A desire, but with no certainty. But this worldly definition of hope is very different to the biblical hope that we have. A biblical hope is not only a desire for something good in the future, but also a confident expectation of it. With biblical hope, we expect it to happen, and not only expectation, we have confidence that it will happen. We have certainty that it will happen. Oh, this is the nature of the living hope we have in Christ. In verse 4, Peter describes it as this inheritance, this hope that we have, as never perish, spoil, or fade. Notice that all of these descriptions are in negative. Why are they all in negative? I think because Peter is highlighting for us this inheritance, this hope that we have, this living hope, is nothing like the hope that our world offers. It is much better than the world, the hope the world offers to us. You see, our world offers hope to us as well. However, it's usually fading hope. It usually doesn't quite deliver, or it doesn't quite last. Recently, I'm in the MTR station commuting and coming back, and an advertisement caught my eyes on the screen. It's asking the question, is retirement solely based on age, or can it be a matter of choice? I thought, wow, it's great marketing. Like, it's zero into the failed need of our society. I can be in charge even when I'm retired, ever after retirement. The financial freedom that it promises, the freedom to have my say, to make my own decisions, even after retirement. But obviously, we all know there'll be fine prints. There'll be warning, investment involves risk. Please refer to this brochure, this document, for details including risk factors, fees, and charges of the scheme. And then it points me to this 98 pages of document that spells all the terms and conditions. But don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to have a go at the company or this industry. I just think it's a good, very good representation of the hope that our world offers to us. For example, the hope of education supposed to foster growth and reduce poverty, but we know that it can also lead to significant student debt. The hope of immigration, sometimes a hope for the next generation to have a better environment to grow. But it can lead to unbearable pressure on the parents and unhelpful, at times, extreme expectation on the kids. The hope in technological advancement with AI is supposed to improve the standard of living, but so often it threatens people's livelihood and make our jobs redundant. Or maybe it's more personal hope that we have. If only I have this, if only I achieve that, if only I manage to land a job in this company, then I will have a promising career path. If only I manage to achieve a certain goal in my life, then I will be so much happier. The reality is, oftentimes, worldly hopes either can't be fully delivered, or the satisfaction that it brings, the happiness that it brings, doesn't quite last for a long time. Worldly hopes is just not in the same category to this living hope that we have in Christ, this imperishable, unspoiled, unfading inheritance. And what exactly is this inheritance, this promise that we have? Well, I think it's all the good things that we have and can enjoy and are enjoying, all the good creation that God has created. It's also the restored world, that a world without any problems and sin. But ultimately, I think it's the revelation of our Christ Jesus, when we can fully, when we see Him and fully enjoy our relationship with Him, when He's before us and we can enjoy Him. That's the imperishable inheritance that we have. That's what we hope for as Christians. There's a big difference between the earthly hope and our Christian hope. One is short-lived, no guarantee. The other is eternal and certain. And this Christian hope that we have is not only praiseworthy, hence Peter started with praising God. It's also allows us to rejoice even now when facing sufferings. In verse 6, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Sufferings shouldn't be a surprise to us, whether just from experience or with the example of our Lord Jesus. After all, it's the pattern of our Lord Jesus. Sufferings of Messiah, the glories that would follow. Well, even though it's expected, it doesn't mean it's not hard. It is really hard to go through sufferings. Peter himself knows this very well, the hardship. It causes grief. It's painful to go through, to persevere. And so, can I encourage you, if you are struggling now, if you're going through trials in your life, can I encourage you to not struggle alone. Try to share it with trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe after the service, pray with our prayer team. Don't struggle alone. But Peter is telling us here, as hard as trials and sufferings in this world, our living hope can give us a reason to persevere through it, to get through it. There will be an end to this hardship. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Sufferings is only a little while compared to the inheritance that we have. And trials have the benefits in this world as well. It leads us to what Peter calls the proven genuineness of faith. In verse 7, these, that is the trials, have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, first question is, what exactly is this faith, the proven genuineness of your faith? I think from context, I think it's about our relationship with Christ. Verse 8 continues to talk about our relationship with Jesus, describing how our love for him, our trust in him, this inexpressible and glorious joy that we have, we can be filled with. The love, the trust, the joy, the proven genuineness of faith. I think Peter is basically sharing his own experience here. Remember, after Jesus' resurrection, the conversation between Peter and Jesus. So three times Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you truly love me?" And three times Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you." And by the third time, Peter was hurt, John told us, because Jesus asked him the third time. But really, at that time, when Jesus was asking him, Peter, he has no proof. Surely, I don't doubt his love for Jesus, but there's nothing for him to point to. See, Jesus, I have done this. It shows my love. Nothing to show to prove his love to his Lord. And so it grieves him. "Lord, I do love you, but I have no proof." Well, that's surely not the case at the end of Peter's life. Jesus, a few verses later, prophesies about Jesus' death in John's Gospel in verse 18, chapter 21, verse 18. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Peter will be facing sufferings, and he has faced sufferings, forced to do things that he doesn't want to do. And tradition has it that Peter was executed. He was crucified upside down in Rome. And even throughout Acts, we see how the apostles, including Peter himself, they were treated in back in those days. In Acts 5, the apostles were persecuted for the name of Jesus. They were being flogged, they were threatened, ordering them not to speak in the name of Jesus again. But notice how did they respond in verse 41 of chapter 5 of Acts. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of the Lord. This is the proven genuineness of faith. Trials and sufferings for Christ refines our faith. It proves our love. It proves our trust in Jesus. It points us to the ultimate relationship with Christ. It allows us even now to experience our relationship and filled with inexpressible joy in this world, joy that's not known to our world. The living hope that we have in Jesus gives us a reason to persevere in this world through trials. And trials refine our faith. It points us to our love for Christ. It fills us with inexpressible, glorious joy. Well, this is the living hope that we have in Christ, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. A hope that's so different to the hopes that our world offers. A hope that delivers what it promises. A hope that lasts. And this hope shapes how we live our lives now. Help us to rejoice even through sufferings. Allow us to persevere. Allow us to experience and taste our relationship with Christ, even if we have not physically seen him, even though he's not physically here with us. It fills us with this heavenly joy, even in this world. And so the question is, well, how should we respond to this hope then? Well, in the last three verses in our passage, it mentions longing for it. We long for this hope. We long for the time when Jesus Christ is fully revealed and we see him face to face. We long for this inheritance. In verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. Well, about this longing for Christ idea, three groups are mentioned in these three verses 10 to 12. First, the prophets. Throughout the ages, Peter tells us, they have earnestly and diligently searched for the coming of Christ. And the second group, the Spirit of Christ, pointing and predicting Christ's suffering and glories and his death and resurrection. And finally, at the end, angels. End of verse 12, even heavenly beings, those who are before God, those who are serving God, long to look into this revelation, the gospel we have in Christ. This is the living hope, Christ himself, his resurrection. This is the inheritance that the Holy Spirit points towards to, the prophets and even angels long for. And the question for us is, are we longing for this hope, this living hope, this inheritance that we have? Well, in 2020, when COVID just started, if you were in Hong Kong, you might remember that there was this time when everything was in shortage. Masks, hand sanitizers, bleach, and even toilet rolls. Which doesn't make sense at all, but everyone was in panic mode and we just stock up unhelpfully. And some pharmacies and NGOs out of love, they try to help those who are in need, and so they give out some of these items for free. And so it's not uncommon to see Hong Kong people queuing up, waiting to get a three-day supply of masks or a portion of bleach for their home use. And I still remember there was this one time, Winnie and I, we were waiting for something, maybe for bus or something, and then next to us there's this queue. And the staff are giving out the supplies, and there was this old lady. I guess she has waited for at least 10, 15 minutes because the queue was long. And finally, when she come close to the distribution point, and she exclaimed loudly, "Oh, it's only hand sanitizer. I have enough of that. I don't need it." And she walked away. I remember it quite clearly because I find it, that's weird. That she was willing to queue up for so long without even knowing what she was queuing up for. But church, the Christian hope is kind of like this metaphorical queue. Throughout the ages, Christians line up and waiting and longing for the revelation of our Lord Jesus, waiting for the living hope, this imperishable inheritance that is kept for us in heaven, waiting with joy and perseverance, with love and trust in Christ. And maybe you're not currently lining up and in this queue at the moment. Maybe you just somehow this evening stumble upon our church, or a friend invited you here to think about this Christian hope. And you know that as human, we in this world, we all need some kinds of hope. And you're wondering, okay, what's this hope that Christianity, Jesus offers? What are Christians queuing up for? Well, it's so great that you are here with us, but can I encourage you, don't just stand at a distance watching us queuing up. Don't just observe our line, our queue. Go to the front of the queue and see what we are queuing up for. Examine for yourself this living hope that we have, that the Bible promised, this inheritance that Christians are looking forward to. Ask the question, who is Jesus? And work out for yourself whether there's something that you need as well, whether you should be joining our queue as well, waiting for this hope. A great way to find out more about this hope is what I just mentioned just now. Join our Christianity Explore course, a six-week course. I'm going through the Gospel of Mark. Ask as many questions as you want to. ask those around you that are waiting, that are queuing up, is it really worth it? What more details can be found on the weekly bulletin or on our church What's On page? I encourage you to have a think. Or maybe you are already lining up. You're a Christian, and you are waiting with all our Christian brothers and sisters for this living hope. But you're feeling a little bit impatient with it. It just feels like it's taking forever, and you're tempted to leave the queue. People who are not queuing, people who are outside, it looks like that they are enjoying their life, and you're a bit distracted, and you're thinking, well, maybe I can jump out of this queue for a bit, and then I'll come back in later. But imagine again with this old lady who walked away from the queue. Imagine she found out that as she was queuing up, before she left the queue, she found that, oh, actually, before me, that's my family doctor. And really, that guy really looks familiar. Oh, he's the director of health of Hong Kong. That's the dean of the faculty of medicine of different universities of Hong Kong. That's hospital directors before me waiting for the supplies. And they're all patiently queuing up. Do you think she will still say, oh, well, it's only hand sanitizer. I have enough of it. I'll just leave. I don't need it. I think she would persevere with it. She probably would wonder whether this hand sanitizer is different to the one that she has. She probably would be thinking, well, maybe this is a new invention, that this hand sanitizer that they are offering, maybe it's just if you use it once and your hands will be clean forever. And church, as we queue up, and as we as we queue up and as we look ahead, those who are queuing up before us are people who are worth paying attention to and thinking why and trusting. It's Abraham and Joseph and Moses and King David and the prophets. It's Peter and John. It's our apostle Paul. It's the church fathers, reformers, Puritans. It's famous writers like Stott and Piper and Keller and Carson. Don't you think if they are queuing up and longing for Christ, there must be something, someone worth waiting for? And so as we continue to wait for this living hope in Christ in this world, let's talk to those around us who are also queuing up, but also in the line, and ask them why they are waiting. How is this living hope worth waiting for? What do they most look forward to with this inheritance in heaven? Well, Piper, a Christian leader, he once said, "Hoping in God does not come naturally for sinners like us. We must preach it to us and preach diligently and forcefully, or we'll give way to a downcast and disquieted spirit." As a church, let's help each other out as we wait for this living hope. Let's ask God to help us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that for this inheritance that is in store for us, that's kept for us in heaven. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. And we look forward to the time when we see him face to face and we see the joy of being with him, enjoying our relationship with him. Father, we also ask that you continue to help us to taste this joy, this inexpressible joy, even now in this world. Taste our relationship with Christ even now as we go through hard times, and help us to point ourselves and point each other to our Lord Jesus to see that he's definitely worth waiting. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.